And he who is speaking with me had a measure, a golden reed that he should be measuring the city. Oh, this is John talking. He didn't speak to me. The messenger didn't speak to me. No, nobody speaks to me from celestial realms. No, I don't have that luxury, folks. I have to get everything I get from the Word of God. It's the hard way. He who is speaking with me had a measure, a golden reed that he should be measuring the city and its portals and its wall, and the city is lying four square. It's not a parallelogram. It's not a rectangle. It's a square. And its length is as much as its breadth. Now, I was terrible at geometry. Every discipline of mathematics I was terrible at. So I'll let you figure this out on your own. I think this means it's four square. I think it means it's a square. Its length is as much as its breadth. And he measures the city with the reed to 12,000 stadia. Stadia, is approximately 1,400 miles. You can look up stadia measure on the intranet, and you will figure that out. I know it's the internet, but I like to call it the intranet. It's a little subtle insult, even though I get great benefit from the intranet, because an intra is like not as epic as an internet. So that's why I like to say it. Its length and breadth and height are equal. I think that proves it's a square. I'm not sure. And he measures its wall of 144 cubits. What? And he measures its wall of 144 cubits of a human measure. Of a human measure. Now, this is an interesting statement, because apparently there are cubits of divine measure. I told you that there are cities in the celestials. I got so much to talk to you about today. There are cities in the celestials. And I confirm this. I put this forward with my friend who's here, Matthew Holland, the son of Nancy Holland, who is recuperating very well, thank you, in her home in Arkansas. So Matthew's here for another day, and we talk scripture all the livelong day. After he makes breakfast, because he's a chef. Not currently practicing as a chef, except here. Here he practices as a chef, because we force him into duty. And I said, you know, there are kingdoms and worlds. If we have world mights, if we have sovereignties, if we have authorities, and we have powers among the celestials, then they have to have something to authority, world might, and power over, and it is kingdoms. And he says, yes, of course. And I said, I'm talking buildings, I'm talking structures, I'm talking discernible. Yes, 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 of course, yes, yes, he agreed 100%. And this is interesting here, that we have a reed, and he measures of a human measure. We think of space as unlimited. We think of it as just going on and on in the infinite. But we don't know that. God is infinite, but is space infinite? Space has a measure, at least those areas of space over which we will, in our future role as members of the body of Christ, control. I'm not a control freak. I'm not. In fact, I almost try to control as few things as possible on earth, because control equals complication. But I know instinctively, it must be from that passage. Yeah, it must be when Jesus said that if you are faithful in little, he will give you much. If you are faithful in, I'm paraphrasing him now, running one city, he'll give you 10 cities. 10 cities, but that was to Israel, and that was concerning the earthly kingdom. We know, however, that this present Jerusalem was based on a model. Remember, we went through Hebrews, and the tabernacle system was all based on a model that Moses saw on the mountain, Mount Sinai. And so we know that earthly things are a reflection of heavenly things. Of course, they're a scaled-down, stripped-down model of things of exceeding glory, exceeding power, exceeding beauty, even. I've testified to you that the female of our species is a testament that God is beautiful. And I think this New Jerusalem is a testament that the structures of the kingdoms, of the cities, of the celestial realm are exceedingly beautiful. Human measure, wow, which is that of the messenger. The messenger condescends to take a human measure, and he has a golden reed. A reed was a little, like the biblical version of the yardstick. And the building material in its wall is jasper, and the city a clear gold like clear glass. I believe this is literal. This is where the Christians get their idea of streets of glass. Streets of gold, I mean. Streets of gold. They're going to be walking the streets of gold. They think that's in 1,000 years. But there's some scriptural recourse here to that, because it is. It is. It is. The foundation of the wall is adorned with every precious stone. It's adorned. The foundations of the wall, foundations plural, of the city are adorned with every precious stone. So these are literal. It doesn't say as jasper or as, you know, Reynolds wrap. It says it's the thing. The first foundation with jasper, the second lapis lazuli, the third chalcedony. Am I pronouncing that right? Chalcedony. I'm not a gemologist or whatever you call these people who study rocks, because I'm not very excited by rocks or by dirt or by earth. I don't do gardens. I will eat the produce of people who like and nurture gardens. I will do that. I lived next to a farm, a dairy farm, for years. I was never impressed with horse manure. Never cared for it much. But I know it's necessary to fuel the plants, which fed the cows, which fueled the production of human consumables, but myself not interested in it. So I'm going to get into these stones, but they're literal as can be. The city is clear gold like clear glass. See, it's clear gold, but it's like clear glass. So it looks like glass. Like, you can go into up into the CN Tower in Toronto, and they have, it's a very tall tower, of course. It used to be the tallest structure, freestanding structure in the world. I don't think it is now. But anyway, there's a clear plastic-like floor there. You can stand over it and look down to the street, and it's scary because it's so clear that you think you're hanging out in space. Now, before I once again renege on my promise to show you the height of a city that is 12,000 stadia high, which is 1,400 miles, which is unbelievable, I'm going to show it to you finally. And to do that, I'm going to have to turn my camera around again, which is risky business, because I can't see what I'm looking at. So let me Alt-Tab over here. I showed you this once before. And again, what I'm going to be showing you, folks, I'm going to be showing you an earthly city. I'm a city that's going to be sitting on this planet. Not this planet, but the new Earth, because this planet's going to be destroyed. It's going to be a little sad to watch it blow up. I like it. I've grown somewhat fond of it. Some of the people are pains, but the planet itself has been friendly to me. I have no personal grudge against this planet. But I'm going to show you a model of the size of the New Jerusalem, assuming it's a perfect cube. Now, it's possible that it could be a pyramid. I'm not of the pyramid people. I don't lay with those people, man. I mean, figuratively. So I think it's a perfect cube. Anyway, let me show you this. Let me show you this. And then there's some interesting text here. All right, there you have it. I'm hoping you're seeing it. That is a model made out of yellow construction paper sitting on the North America, namely the United States. It's hitting part of Mexico and part of Canada. Of course, love you Canadians up there, by the way. Greetings to all my listeners in Canada. Oh, and I got to tell you something after I show you this. Remind me to tell you something about Norway. Okay, and now look at that. Look at that. That's a side view of this thing, this New Jerusalem, and how it would look on the present Earth. But this entire demonstration is bogus, because the New Jerusalem's not going to be sitting on the present Earth. There's going to be a new heavens and new Earth. There won't be all this water, because there's no sea on the New Earth, no sea. It's solid landmass. Here's a demonstration of how it looked with the height. Look at that, the height of this thing. It's really impressive. And here it is, as it would be sitting on the in the Middle East. It would take up most of. Looks like, what is that? What is that? Saudi Arabia. Looks like, I don't know. And there it is, the height again. And there's some interesting text here at the end. If you are a mile away from the city, you would not see the top. But you might if you were 10 miles away. So it's too close. If you're only 1 mile away, you're too close. Like, you can't strain. You can't look up and see the height of it. And I'm going to show you why. If you're 10 miles away, you might be able to see the height of it, see the top of it. If you're 5,000 miles away, the new Earth, listen to this. This is a great stat. Who comes up with this stuff? At 5,000 miles away, it would appear more than 130 times larger than the moon. 130 times larger than the moon. To appear the size of the moon, you would have to be 160,427 miles away. Astounding. Let me finish these quotes here. Because the city is at least 1,400 miles in length, width, and height, it could be shaped like a cube or pyramid. I'm a cube guy. I'm going with the cube crowd. That's where I'm putting my money. I'm betting on the cube horse here. And then the writer here poses a question. This is at tourofheaven.com. Oh, I hate that title. Don't go to this. Tour of Heaven. It reminds me of these 12-year-old kids and these silly women who claim to go into heaven and come back with a report. No, you haven't. It's some kind of mind trick, some kind of hallucination, and you're either on drugs or you ate a bad pizza before bed. Does the height refer to the wall that surrounds the city or the tallest building? I'm not sure I understand the question. I'm not even going to try to figure it out. Revelation 21:17 says the wall around the city is about 200 feet, but the ESV, NASB, and NIV Bibles don't specify whether this is the thickness or height. I'm sorry I began reading this because it makes no sense to me. The NIV Bible, and so I continue, says this is about 200 feet thick. Oh, the thickness of the wall, but the footnote says or high. Oh, they're hedging their bets. I hate it when that happens. All right, now finally, here's the height of the New Jerusalem. Let me see how much time I have here on my shoe. What's a really good show? I have 12. I'm at the 12-minute mark. We're good. Look at this. Let me get a little pointer out here. 1,400 miles is like up here into the exosphere. At this, is this miles down here? I should have reviewed this one. Yeah, it's up into, well, here's like a military jet right here. You see that little thing? It's a military jet. Here's weather balloons. Here, and they're at 11 to 19 miles, weather balloons, 11 to 19 miles. The military jet, yes, here it is 40 miles high. And so here's your common jet liner, and the jet liner cannot go more than 8 miles high. This is a giant cloud, and the cloud goes up to 8 miles. So top of Mount Everest is way down here. It's a little baby. Here's the mesosphere here. And we get in the exosphere where spacecraft are. The Hubble Space Telescope is only 370 miles above the Earth. There's the Hubble right there. And it's only 370 miles or 600 kilometers. 600 kilometers? That ain't right. But it's 370 miles. Sorry, you Canadians. I'm not up on kilometers. So this thing pokes into what we would call your outer space, and I think that's pretty high. That's what I would say. The Martin Zender paraphrase would be, and the city was pretty high, and the city was pretty long, and the city was pretty deep, and the city was pretty, period. That's what I would say. Because, and then these gems, I probably will get into some specifics on the gems. They're literal. The gold is literal. God's still digging gold. I mean, when I use digging, not in the terrestrial sense of literal literally digging it with a spade, but he likes it. It's one of his favorite substances. It's a rare substance, and apparently, even though we have a new Earth, we still have the gems that we're familiar with of the old Earth, because it doesn't say that the walls are adorned with things that are like lapis lazuli. Well, no, it is lapis lazuli, assuming I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm not a big fan of lapis lazuli. I'm not an expert on any gems. I know there are people who study these things. I call them gemologists. They're probably not that. My friend Matthew was talking about a guy, just this is a little side note here, who does not really want to be snatched away into the heavens. Oh, I haven't forgotten about Norway. Hang on. He doesn't want to be snatched up into the heavens. He likes it on Earth. I notice that a lot of people, well, I can understand it because we're familiar with Earth. We know Earth. And so when you tell us that we're going to be snatched away, just the unknown of it, it kind of makes you a little trepidatious. And you think, maybe I don't want to go to heaven. Is it cold? Is it dark? Is it too vast for my feeble powers of perception? Will I feel lost, up and up and up and up in heaven? It's too big. No, I'm not worried about it at all, because I trust that if God wants me to go there, then I will go there. But the thing with this friend of Matthew's is he likes to study bugs. He's really into bugs. I call him a bugologist. See, I think that's the Latin term. He loves insects, and so he's afraid, and he should be afraid, very, very afraid, that there will be no insects in heaven. This guy, I want to call him crazy, but I don't know him, and I feel like if I do that and he's watching, he's going to think that I don't think well of him. I should be more sympathetic about this kind of problem. I would comfort the man. I would try to talk him into the body of Christ. The one thing holding him back is the fear that there would be no bugs in heaven. I would say that there will be bugs, but they will be spiritual. But they're bugs with spiritual bodies now. The bugs will no longer be ruled by their souls, by their need to, you know, crawl on the ground and lay on their backs and wave their legs around and to bite you, sting you, or eat rotten bananas or land on dog crap. I don't know. Because a fly is a bug. Is a fly a bug? Does it qualify? I like bees because bees produce honey. Really? You want to stay on Earth because of the bugs? All right. I pray for you, my friend. I'll pray for you. And you might be listening. I don't know. I don't know if you're listening, but if you are, I'm praying for you as we speak. Yesterday was a great day. I'll finish with this because Matthew, we went on FaceTime with three believers, three members of the body of Christ in Norway. And they were so happy. Mariana, Johannes, and Eric. I greet you from the United States of America. I'm taking care of your man here, Matthew. We're having a great time of fellowship. It was so great to talk to you over the amazing technology of FaceTime, to see you live way over there on the other side of the present Earth in Norway. And they were very encouraged to be able to talk to us. And who else was there? Dean and Amy Wilkinson were also in on that broadcasting live from 825 Southwest 17th Street in Fort Lauderdale to the world. No, actually to Norway. And Haley was there too. So there was a group of us, five members of the body of Christ, at the same kitchen table in Fort Lauderdale. This was at Juliana's other house, not this house, and it just a couple blocks down the road. It was so encouraging to the Body of Christ members in Norway to connect, because their complaint is the same complaint I hear from you, is that we're so alone. It's so hard, Martin, to hold this message against the tide of the world, against the opinion of my friends, against my old, you know, church members, and it's very difficult. And as soon as you feel that pain, I congratulate you, because now you begin suffering. You begin to feel the pang that Jesus felt of being an anomaly, being a man who is so whose thoughts and expectation and life's disposition is so high, so lofty, that it becomes so far removed from the dreams, hopes, dispositions of people on earth. They become like insects. Yes, they become like the insects that we were just talking about, like the aphids. Their mental apprehension of the heavens is like that of an aphid. All they think about is what's in front of them. Like, here's a pen, here's a plate, here's my cell phone. And they look at their cell phone and it's like, boo, that's all they care about because they're like aphids. And but they can't help it. That's all they've been given. They have not been given a mind that wonders about things beyond the great blue, beyond the exosphere, beyond certainly the ionosphere. And so they don't wonder about God. They do not wonder about God. And we look at them like, how could you not wonder about God? And their answer is only like, well, I have an aphid-like curiosity in my surroundings and the universe, and God locks all up together, an aphid-like stubbornness that he should be merciful to all, and he will. And we have the early view, we have the early apprehension, the early curiosity, the early spiritual intuition to apprehend these things, and how great it was yesterday to meet fellow believers, even if only through this electronic magic of FaceTime. And so, and so I greet you there, and I greet you all over the world, to all members of the body of Christ who are listening to my voice. I'm Martin Zenner, your host on the Revelation series. I love you. I need you. And soon we will be united in the most amazing display of divine power since the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself.